Parsha Ki Tisa is famous for Chet HaEgel. It is famous for the sin of the golden calf. And today we're not going to discuss the golden calf per se. We're only going to discuss the Luchot HaBrit. Luchot HaBrit, the tablets of the covenant, the two tablets. Why? Because we have to try to understand what were they for, what were they, why did God give them to Moshe? How did the sages understand them? How did they view them? How did they see them? And more importantly, what message do they have for us? And I think, Laura, you asked me last week about Kolel. You said you'd give you some sources for was that you last week?
Or, yeah.
We're going to give you some today. Okay? Just allusions, not actually, you know, and we'll see it in the Torah Tamima as well. So we're gonna read actually not a lot of psukim. You'll see. We're on chapter 31, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yudchet. Lamed Aleph Yudchet, 31:18. Because the Luchot themselves are very strange, if you think about them. Right? Two tablets. Like, what were they for?
We don't know where they are.
Where are they? They're broken. Okay?
Both sets?
Both sets. Where the other ones are? We know where the other ones are. The second ones, where are they? They're in the Ark. Well, I just saw an article. I only read the headline where somebody said he's convinced they're not in Rome. He's convinced that they've got to be somewhere buried.
They just appeared way before Roman times.
Yeah, way before.
Doesn't make sense.
They've got to be way down, deep down in Harabai somewhere. You know what I'm saying? You think they're going to be in some cave somewhere? You know, near Yerushalayim. They couldn't have taken it very far. Correct. I mean, Yerushalayim is city upon city upon city. Okay. Pasuk Yudchet.
Yeah. I know the broken ones.
The Shivrei Luchot are supposedly on the side of the Luchot. They're on the side of the Aron. There's like a shelf on the side of the Aron. There's like, you know, you built this beautiful Aron and then you like attach like a, you know, like an IKEA shelf to it. Okay, the shape that you have, the two tablets, is absolutely based on nothing whatsoever. Right. The Luchot are tablets. I got your coffee.
They were like emeralds.
In your cup, unless you don't want it.
Thank you. I already drank some.
Okay, so then give it to somebody else. Give it to
someone else.
Yeah.
The look of the smile that you made.
Okay. Vayitenu Moshe kechaloto ledaber ito behar Sinai shnei luchot ha'idut. 31:18. Lamed Aleph Yudchet. God gave to Moshe. You're in Shemot?
Yeah.
Lamed Aleph Yudchet. Oh, we're good. We're okay. Oh, you found it. Good. Kechaloto ledaberito. When he concluded speaking with him, behar Sinai and Har Sinai shnei luchot ha'edut. The ha'edut, the two tablets of
testimony.
Testimony to what? Because it's a recording of the conversation. It was shorthand. What's on the tablets?
The
are you sure?
No. I was until you asked it.
I'm sure.
What?
I'm sure.
Okay. How do you know?
That's what we call it. That's what I do. You're supposed to put it in the...
That it had what?
As an edut.
No, I'm saying, how do you know it's Ten Commandments? We're written on it.
The Torah says so.
Moshe wrote on the second one...
I didn't hear the beginning of the question.
How do you know? Where does the Torah say that the Ten Commandments are written on the Luchot?
On Luchot at all?
Mm-hmm.
I assume that it says...
Somewhere. It's got to be written somewhere. Yeah, you have to find it. I think so too, but I'm not sure where.
It.
Okay. Luchot Evan. Tablets of stone. Ktuvim be'etzva Elohim. Written with the finger of God. What's the problem? Well, what's the problem, obviously? God doesn't have a finger. So the whole thing, immediately we know the whole thing is problematic. Okay?
All metaphorical.
What's that?
All metaphorical.
All metaphorical? Which part? The Luchot or the written with the finger of God?
Well, we've had this extra
little thing. We've had Etzva Elokim, we've had the Yad Hashem, right? We have had Etzva Elokim, right? And we've all interpreted metaphorically to mean the imprimatur of God, the power of God. Okay? So what does it mean that it's written with the finger of God?
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, with your touch, whatever, with your iPad, you could write with your finger too, right? With your tablet. With your tablet, correct? You were waiting for that, weren't you? Where's your Tanakh? Here's mine. Yeah.
I was saying,
not stirring.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
etzba elokim, and I think Yael is correct. Etzba elokim is a metaphor, but what's it a metaphor for? The etzba is the first finger, the power of God, the strength of God, and when God, like, it's an impossibility in a sense that God would write on stone with his finger. We'll see in a second. I'll explain to you what I mean. As for John, but then in the Haggadah, it's interesting you mentioned that. It says, Etzba Elokim Hu. Don't we say that? That it's the finger of God.
Yeah. You have to have much more control to do something with a finger than with a hand. It's much more fine-tuned.
Yeah, normally we write with an implement, though. We don't really write with our hand.
But you can. You can write with your hand.
You can carve your finger in the sand.
I like
okay,
that.
Good. Now we're going to skip a little bit.
If you write with your finger, you're making an indentation or something.
I mean,
they're putting something on with an additional
layer. There's no
separation. Right, unless you're carving. Now, how would we do it? When we would carve, if we wanted to scrape something in, we would use an implement, but that's only because I guess our finger is not strong enough or exact enough.
Right? You're in a desperate situation, you have to carve something.
You would carve something with your finger. That's true.
You're taking it out or something
with your finger there.
Okay, I just want to point out the three elements of these tablets that it says in the pasuk, shnei luchot aidut, that there were two of them, luchot even. You notice that it says that shnei luchot, and the word luchot, it seems extra, it seems unusual. Luchot even, ktuvim be'etzba elokim. Those are three things that we know about them. Look at Rashi, luchot ktiv, Rashi on luchot, luchot luchat. Rashi says it's written in the singular because it doesn't have the vav. To tell you, shayu shtehen shavot. That they were equal in size, it seems, equal in shape. We don't really know what it means that they were equal. Does it say explicitly?
No. Mayomer Hashem Moshe Alei Eli Hahara VeHayesham VeTana Lacha Et Luchot HaEven VeHatorah VaMitzvah SheKatavti LaHorotam. I'll give you the stone tablet and the Torah.
Something tells me that Moshe wrote it somewhere. Maybe in Devarim that Moshe wrote.
This is the first Luchot.
Look at the second. Look in Devarim. Moshe, when Moshe says he brought down the second Luchot, it must say there what he wrote on it. The Aseret HaDevarim. It's like right before, maybe the Aseret HaDibur later. Something tells me it's there. Okay, we're going to skip now. Why? Because in Lamed Bet, the beginning of Lamed Bet is the story of the sin of the Chet HaEgel. Okay, and we're not going to do it today because that's not our topic. Skip now. So they sin, they build the Egel, God says to Moshe, this is terrible, I'm going to destroy them all. Moshe begs for their forgiveness. Okay, now we're going to pick up the story, just read the end, Pasuk Yudalad, skip to Lamed Bet Yudalad. Vayinachem Hashem hala ra'a asher diber la'asot la'amo. And God regretted the terrible evil, the destruction that he was going to bring to the Jewish people. Okay, but understand that we've skipped this story. Pasuk Tetvav. Vayiven vayered Moshe min hahar. Ushnei luchot ha'idut biyado. Moshe turned and he went down from the mountain, and the two luchot ha'idut are in his hands. Luchot ktuvim mishnei avrehem, mizeh umizeh hem ktuvim.
Yeah,
you found it.
Luchot havanim ktuvim be'etzba Elohim.
Yeah.
Va'alehem techol hadreim asher dibar Hashem imachem bahar mitoch ha'esh biyom hakal.
Ah, so it had the Ten Commandments.
On them, it had all of the things Hashem told you. And that.
Okay, good. So now here we were. So I knew it was there. That was the Ten Commandments.
No.
On that mountain.
All the things Hashem told you on the mountain from among the fire, from within the fire on the day of the gathering.
Could have been the first two commandments, remember, because Moshe did the rest of them. I don't know, but he said the Ten Commandments. The simple pshat is that it's all Aseret HaDibra. It's all ten. Okay. So now, what we have is, Vayivan Vayered Moshe Minahar, Ushnei Luchot Ha'idut Biyado. So he has the two Luchot Ha'idut, the two tablets of the testimony. Luchot,
in one hand.
Ktuvim Mishnei Evrehem, Mizeh u'mizeh hem ktuvim. The luchot were written mishnei evrehem ever from both sides, from this side and that side they were written. This is chazal. This isn't chazal. This is pshat. Okay. V'haluchot maaseh Elohim hema, and the luchot were the maaseh Elohim, the action of God. V'hamichtav, and the writing is michtav Elohim hu, charut al haluchot. What does charut mean? Karen, what do you have?
Graven.
And carved. Okay? So Chazal say right away that what was unique about the Luchot, what made them Maaseh, what made them miraculous? No, more than that.
And then you can read the book.
Right, it was hewn, the letters were hewn through the entire stone. When you think of it like a tombstone, like where you have the things on it. No, that the writing was all the way through, but then you flipped it over on the other side, and it was not reversed. It was still straight. Moreover, Chazal had another thing. Some of the letters of the Torah have a samach and a mem, right? Mem sofi. But what was ktav? Even ktav in the other ktav, the original ktav, ktav ivrit.
Those are the examples that Rashi brings of the samach and the mem.
Right. And ktav ivrit, is it all that way? Also that way?
Who said the halachot were written in ktav ivrit? How do you know it wasn't written in ktav ashuri?
The Gemara says quite clearly that they all only wrote Ketav Ivri back then. You know what I'm talking about, Ketav Ivri? You ever go to the Israel Museum, the Bible Lands Museum? You'll notice that there is an ancient... What?
Not
the Hebrew like today. Right. We switched. At some point it was all switched over. It's clear that they wrote in Ketav Ivri.
Okay.
In the original. But there has to be a mem somewhere.
It's true in and of itself. That's very problematic.
Yeah.
Why?
Because we say that the Torah hasn't changed. Obviously they were writing in a different script.
It's the same words. Was it in what script you write it in? I can make your problem even much bigger. I can make your problem much worse. If you ever take intro to Bible, you'll notice that there are something like 8 or 13 problematic places in the Torah where we're not exactly sure of the exact word or the letter. We're not exactly sure. And the Gemara says, actually quite clearly, there came a point in Jewish history where they really didn't know the Torah at all. Nobody, there's a time in Malachim where they open up this book and nobody knows what it is, and the Kohen Gadol has to come and the Navi has to come and say, don't you know that's the Torah? And it was open to the Tochachan. And the Melech says, oh my God, you're right, what are we supposed to do? And he makes the whole people repent, which means the only Torahs were in the Beit HaMikdash. And when they went to copy the Torahs, they wanted an original copy, but they found three versions. Meaning there were three small, subtle... Differences in, like, you know, with a vav, without a vav, with a yud, without a yud.
Yeah.
And so in the end, the Torah they copied from, they took the majority ruled in each case. So no Torah was ever exactly the same. So that wrap your head around that. Okay? If that's what you're talking about.
They also make all these, like, all these, I don't know, esoteric things about the letters and the formation of the letters and what they mean, when it wasn't the original script.
No, it's just, what do you mean? The letters are the same. The shape of the letters, you mean?
Right, like if someone gives it for a Torah.
Yeah,
the Torah,
and look, we start with the Bereshit, and the Bet looks like this.
Have you ever heard me give such a dry Torah? Ask him, what would you say about Ketav Ivrit? You know what I'm saying? That they clearly had that Ketav. It's obvious, you know, you see in this, that's how they wrote.
So it's clearly...
You know when they say, when they show you, know, they found an amulet, you know when they found an amulet, like you'll see on the internet every now and then, they found an amulet like under that excavation place, and it was like Shlomo ben David or whatever, you know what I'm saying? They found this amulet with this Kohen Gadol. It's never written in Ketav Ashuri in the black letters. It's always in that crazy script. Why? That's how they wrote. That was the script that they wrote. But it's just the same, like, that doesn't bother me so much. It's like Rashi font. It's a font. You know what I'm saying? We just don't read that font. It's just we just learn how to read it.
You can't say then.
The text of the Torah that we have now, I'm sorry, can't be exactly the text of the Torah that Moshe got anyway, because people make mistakes along the way with copying. We're talking the Gadol, it's the same Torah.
That's what Rav Schechter said. I just heard a shiur from him where he said exactly that. When the Rambam says it's exactly the same Torah, he's not worried about like the exact, like how you spell it. We're, you know what I'm saying? We follow Masorah. But we digress.
The way you learn Torah is you look into it so... Exactly, every word and every spelling and every place.
That is true. That is true. That is true.
But like you
and
said,
the
nuns
of it to the upside down letters.
Right, so they asked, there's a huge literature, there's a halakhic literature about that. How is it possible that we have a kosher Sifrei Torah if nobody knows the exact? So they offer a bunch of different possibilities, and one of the possibilities they said is it has to be kosher up to what we know.
Right.
You can't say it's not kosher if we don't have a specific tradition about it. But we digress. That's one thing about the Luchot. The second thing is, it was all the way through, right? The thing was hewn all the way through. How'd the mem stand up? Right, you know what I'm saying? If you have, right, inside the mem. So it was hovering. So you could look at it both sides, and it was hovering. What that means to tell you, what the rabbis wanted to tell you is
Harry Potter,
Lahavdil.
Black and white, because the letters were black.
The letters were carved through. They weren't a color.
The letters didn't exist.
Black, but I'm saying the.
You mean white and black the other way around? I never heard this.
The other way around. When we read letters and there's spaces in between the letters, that's what.
I'm not familiar with what you're trying to say. You'll find it. Okay. But the idea is that it was hewn. I think what the Chazal are trying to teach us is that, this is what I mean by that these luchot were impossible. They were not physically real, in a sense. You can't turn something around, see all the way through it, and have it be the same way. How does that make sense? So if that's true, nobody actually ever read them. Moshe read them. Moshe had them. Nobody ever even saw them. Yeah, and we're going to see even more than this. There are even more significant midrashim about this, about the luchot. Okay? What's that? They never got there. Interestingly enough, even if they had made there, nobody ever would have seen them.
The second pair were in
the second pair? The second pair, Moshe had to say. We'll see in a second. Okay? V'haluchot, we read this already. Ma'asei Elohim Hema. I'm in Tetzayin. V'am bichtav, michtav Elohim hu, charut al haluchot. The luchot were ma'ase Elohim. They were the actions of God. And the writing was the writing of God. So what does that tell you? Just reading the words carefully. What does that tell you? That it wasn't just, you're thinking, you take two pieces of stone, God, you know, went to the quarry, took pieces of stone, and you're hewed out of it. No, that's not what it means. It means that the luchot themselves, there was something about the stone itself which was unusual, which was unique, which was spiritual, which was divine. Right? Not just the writing. Don't think about the writing. The whole thing didn't fit.
It doesn't make sense, because Hashem's building, he's making a book that's his creation, that's all like out of the realms of our dimensions and our world, while we're doing the Hebrew, which he knows about, down the hill. And then they get broken, but
well, what's bothering you? What's bothering you? Laurie is actually asking an excellent question. What's bothering you?
What was the point of what he was doing?
What do you mean? When were these luchot made?
During the Chet
HaEgel? Before the Chet HaEgel. Why do I know they were made before the Chet HaEgel?
Because Moshe
How do you see, what's that? Where do you see that? Yes.
The last day, right?
They were off. They were off by 6 hours. Correct.
Right.
So how do you know God didn't give them the luchot, like, you know, at the very end?
How long does it take to
make it? Well, the other question is, how could they break?
The answer, we'll get to that in a second. The answer is, you know that God gave them the luchot first because it says, go back, I started intentionally on Yud Lamed Aleph Yud Chet. Vayiten el Moshe lechichaloto ledaber ito bahar Sinai. Shnei luchot ha'idut, luchot even k'tuvim be'etzba Elohim. Okay?
That's before the
whole story. That he gave them, that God gave Moshe these luchot, written be'etzba Elohim, and then the story of the sin, the actual sin, and now we're after that. And now Moshe is vayifen, turning away from God. He's gotten the forgiveness. So it's interesting, poor Moshe. Right, not only is he arguing with God, trying to save them, what's he doing the whole time?
Holding
the luchot, right? Now, divine stones, how much do they weigh?
Nothing.
Right.
What were they called?
And floating divine stones with not real words. What? It's very interesting, isn't it? Very fascinating. Okay, what were they for? You're asking now, Laurie's asking the question. What are these luchot for? I'll tell you what they're for. The Torah says very clearly, edut. They're luchot edut. Edut of what?
Hashem's relationship with us.
Yeah, very good. We'll see. Okay? What's interesting, what we're pointing out, what's bothering us here is, why in the world are these two psukim, what are they doing here? When God gave Moshe the luchot, what should the Torah have done? The Torah should have described what the luchot were like. Do you notice that? See, we have Pasuk Yurchet, right? These luchot Evan, and then the Torah has this whole story of that we skipped, the story of the chet, of the sin. And then it goes back and says, oh, and by the way, and when Moshe went down and he's carrying these stones, I want to mention there are a few facts about the stones you might not have known about. These tablets. They're written on both sides, and they're written by God, and charut al haluchot. It's very nice, very beautiful. Okay? But what is this? Why is this information here and not back here? Everybody understand the question? Right, it's a very powerful question. It's a very good question. Suggestion?
Well, they might have seen it. I mean, if it had the holiness to it, instead of Rahashen, they might have looked up on the mountain and seen something different. To me, I literally like to describe the hologram with this light emanating from it.
Moshe's holding it. It's physical.
Moshe's holding it. There's a light. It's just a holiness to it that if they looked on the mountain, I think their eyes would have been drawn to it. Somehow.
I don't think so. I don't think he had come down yet. He was still up in the mountain. They couldn't see him. It was clear that they couldn't see him. They were separated from him.
Maybe it's just to reinforce what they didn't know that they just
lost. Let's see.
So what was impossible for them to receive.
What was impossible for them to receive. So both Ramban and Kli Yakar, which we're both going to see today, they suggest this idea. The reason why the Luchot are described in this way is in order to understand what it is that Moshe broke. Okay? I want to point out, it's just very interesting. If you look at, there's a correlation, it seems. Right? We're going to, if you could sort of follow, hold between the two psukim, between the introduction and then the later psukim. You're way ahead of yourself. Okay? Now I'm going to read. I'm back on the first pasuk. Luchot edut. Okay, Luchot Eben, Ktuvim be'Asba Elokim. There are three details: Luchot Edut, Luchot Eben, Ktuvim be'Asba Elokim. You see what I'm talking about? I was back on the first sukkim. Now, if I look later on, when the Torah now gives me details about them, the Torah says, "Shnei Luchot Edut biyado." How are they Luchot Edut? Ktuvim Shnei Abraham Mizeh Umizehim Ktuvim. Somehow, the fact that they were written on both sides is Luchot Edut. That's one thing. Next thing, Luchot Eben. What does it say? V'haluchot ma'aseh Elohim hema. They're not just any rock. They're not just any stone. Rather, they're stone, divinely made stone. And then the third thing, Ketuvim be'etzba Elohim, written with the hand of God. It says, Michtav Elohim hu charut al haluchot. What does the word charut mean again?
Engraved.
Engraved. How do you say engraved in Hebrew? Anybody know? How do you say engraved? You wouldn't say charut. What would you say?
We don't know.
You would say, what? You would say, look at Rashi for a second.
What?
Nobody knows.
She said nechrat.
Look at Rashi. Charut, lashon cheret, vecheret, with a tet, echad hu. Shnehem, lashon chikuk. Chakak. Lechokek means to engrave. What? Chisel. Right. So Chazal all pick up on this idea. Why does it say charut?
It's like charut.
What's that? You would use the word charut?
That's the word that you use.
That's the word you use?
Is it connected to
charut? Very good.
But in Rashi, medieval Hebrew, you wouldn't.
When you say charut, I don't know that word, but lachot.
Lachrot means?
Chakuk,
Mishnah,
Luchot. Yeah.
See what I know. Chakuk is medieval Hebrew?
Chakuk, Mishnah,
Luchot. I'm Rabbi Shubin Levi, very famous. Okay? Al Tikra, this is in Pirkei Avot. Mai Dichtiv Charut al Haluchot. Al Tikra Charut el Achirut. Why? Lefi She'emcha Ben Chorin Ela Shezesha Osek B'Torah. There's no one who is as free as the person who immerses himself in the study of Torah.
That's what
it's a mission in Pirkei Avos. It's not Reb Nachman, it's a mission in Pirkei Avos. Reb Nachman picked up the mission in Pirkei Avos. And that's the idea of Cherut. Al Tikra Cherut, El Cherut. And actually, we say this in Musaf. What's that? Cherut is freedom. Right. That freedom comes not from doing whatever you want, but it comes from hewing in stone, the engraving of the words of the Torah on the stone of the tablets. What does that mean? So there's a few more midrashim that people are not aware of. Okay? Amar Rab, one second. Amar Rab Elazar. My dichtiv charut al haluchot. What does it mean that they were engraved? If the first tablets had never been destroyed, Lo nishtacha Torah Yisrael. The Jews never would have forgotten the Torah. That these luchot somehow had the ability. That what? Amarav Achabar Yaakov.
They had to be destroyed because that's what I'm saying. That's what I said earlier. They're representative of a reality that cannot exist in the world the way we are. I think that it's like, you know, the Midrashim and Bar Hashem originally creating the world with a certain light, the Or HaGanuz, and mm-hmm. to then control it and put it in somewhere else because we... It's a divine aspiration that's not humanly possible.
One second. Very good. The Gemara says, Abba Rabbi Natan says, on the Luchot Ma'aseh Elohim, that these things were created, these luchot were made during the 6 days of creation. I'll read you another midrash. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he says the following, if the luchot had not been broken, lo haita kol uma b'lashon sholetet b'Yisrael.
No, but the point is...
No nation...
Wait,
let me finish the midrash.
If the luchot would not have been broken.
Yes.
The point is, if we would have lived in a society where there was a possibility for the luchot not to be there, then one of the other consequences of that kind of society mm-hmm. would be that they wouldn't forget the Torah,
yes.
the other nation, whatever...
Correct.
...just read now. But it's not that...
Wait, no, this is important. Don't...
The luchot, no, listen. It's not because the luchot were broken, therefore the Jews forgot the Torah.
Right.
The luchot couldn't exist in this world because the Jews are going to forget the Torah. That's who we are. And therefore they
disagree.
Have to be
not disagree. Have disagree.
To.
Disagree.
But we did sin because that's who we are. Ah. That's my point. The sin was inevitable.
Saying we had no choice but
I didn't say that. I said the sin was inevitable.
Ooh.
It's the same thing.
Really? That sin?
Yes.
That sin was inevitable?
There's so many things, if this, then this.
One second. But I want to connect and midrashim because I think they're important to connect. If the luchot wouldn't have been broken, lo haita kol uma b'lashon sholetet b'Yisrael. No other nation would have ruled over Israel. Shneamar charut al haluchot, al tikra charut el acherut. Let's connect the three. What's the ideal freedom, says Chazal. What's the ideal freedom? What? No, that's not the ideal freedom. The ideal freedom is the study of the Torah. If we had studied the Torah as truly free people, we never would have forgotten the Torah. If we never would have forgotten the Torah,
we would have never took the loopholes.
No, well, and we would have always been free. We would have always been on top. We never would have been exiled. We never would have been subjugated by other nations of the world.
It's totally connected to what we studied last week with the Emunah. I mean, last week was all about
Amunah
also. If you don't cheat, you have
Amunah. I don't say it's totally connected. Why is this connected to Lurie? We saw that he says in the Torah Timimai says, what does this mean? He says, Yesh lefarish inyan chirut min hamalchiyot, freedom from the subjugation of the government. Based on what we say, there's a halacha that says, Tamid chacham shetarato umanuto. There's a halacha actually in Yeridea. If you have a scholar whose actual vocation is the study of Torah, Patur mimisim umi arnono tamelech. He's exempt from paying taxes, from paying arnona. You know what I'm saying? From local taxes. Ubnei ha'ir chayavan liten chalko. Yeah, and the bnei ha'ir and the people of the city have to pick up the tab for him.
But who is that?
Someone whose Torato umanuto, whose Torah is his vocation. Full-time studier. Full-time Torah studier. What? No. I didn't say average Joe. So I was someone who's. I just want to point out that that's actually halacha in Yoredea. You can look it up. The community has to pick it up.
You need to have a community in order to have over that.
What?
You need to have
who can afford it? We can afford it. I just want to point out. You're asking for sources. There's really strong, and I said it's all over the place. It's really throughout. I said this last week. It's throughout Jewish literature. The idea that the Torah, people who immerse themselves in Torah, are considered the foundation of the Jewish people, and that in its ideal form, the study of the Torah would sustain us, and lo sholetet, that no nation of the world would have any dominion over us if we were able to study Torah in its ideal sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's there. It's really there. It's not that people are making it up.
I'm not.
Yeah, I hope not. We're sitting here, aren't we?
It's hard to say no to what you're saying, because there are definitely...
But
But this is somebody who does it as a profession, and also the implication that there are other people, other professionals, you know.
Yeah.
But of course, not that everybody's in that.
Right.
Right,
but this is all from the word charut, that it's yun, charut and chirut. Chazal make this essential connection between the idea of charut and chirut and lulucha. We're going to come to your point in a second. Okay? Yeah.
If they haven't broken. Would there be free choice? I mean, that's what I'm
saying. Oh, yeah, you have free choice.
Even though you're saying that everyone would have, like, life would have been so clear.
Well, the real question is why? What is the uniqueness? What's the?
That's my point. Wait a minute, you have to go back to the creation of the world. That's what I'm saying.
Very good.
That's my point.
Good. Absolutely correct.
That's according to the Ramban. That was what happened with the Eitz Hadaat, Tovara, that they got free choice. Before that, you know, Hashem didn't. Before then, there was no free choice. There were, you know, but he, well.
What?
Because of who we are, that reality of the divine luchot cannot exist. Just
then
like
why create it in the first place?
Because it's an aspiration. It's symbolic and an aspiration.
Yeah, we're working on this aspiration, but we've been working on it for about 3 weeks.
We've been working on it for longer than 3 weeks.
It has to have been a reality that could have been achieved. Otherwise, it should never have been created.
I'm going to say it differently than Yael. I'm going to say it's a reality that will be achieved, that must be achieved. That shall be achieved. This is something that we all must believe in. We do believe in. We're working towards. Otherwise, what's the point?
Well, I think that's the question of the feminine French.
Whoa!
It's still being visual, but masculinity is more about hope and victories, and femininity is about small detail and much more of the reality and putting it into practice, and that comes down throughout literature. But here is the fight between the Yetzer and the Yetzer Hara from the beginning, from Chava, and down to this point here, that there is a potential for it, but the practical reality is that it's hard. The Yetzer Hara has to be strong. Otherwise, there isn't.
See, we're at this unique time in history. We're at this special time at Matan Torah, at Har Sinai, and there's a potential. The potential is, can we get back? Like, isn't that exactly what Ramban says? The Ramban says the ideal, the point of Mitzrayim is to bring the Bnei Israel to Har Sinai to give them the Torah, to return the world to its original point. Okay. Correct?
And
so if that's true, what?
The whole book of you keep missing.
Yeah.
You keep missing it.
This is the point. What is the tablets represent? These luchot represent the edut. The edut of what? Like this idea, I find very appealing that the luchot, they couldn't exist and yet they did. They represent an impossible ideal of trying to create something in the world that doesn't make sense. And yet, God teaches us in so many ways that this existence in this world, as impossible as it is, can happen, and does happen, and will happen. And I think maybe that's what you're referring to before, Karen. This is what we do believe in. That this, you know what I'm saying, this lack of logic on whatever level, so if you take it to the infinite degree, that's the luchot. And that's the luchot ha'idut. What is the idut? The idut is that you can have spirituality in the world. You can bring God into the world. Because if we didn't believe that, then what are we doing? What is it? It's ohel mo'ed. It's all a testimony. The testimony is that there can be God in the world. I find it also appealing when you look at the Aaron, the measurements never made sense, and the Kruvim didn't make sense. You know what I'm talking about? The measurements, like the Kodesh HaKadoshim wasn't big enough for it, but yet it fit anyway. There's all this idea of the spatial impossibility, even in the Beit HaMikdash, like it wouldn't make sense, there's not enough space. You know, all of these issues, they come up over and over again, and it's all into the luchot, etzba Elohim. How could God write with a finger? God doesn't have a finger. How could God write? How could God, an unphysical being, create a physical manifestation of the Torah? Answer is?
Because God could do whatever.
God could do whatever he wants. So then could he bring spirituality into this world?
No, we have to do that.
Well, we have to do that. Yes.
That's the point. That was by the luchot. That was, you know.
So we all by Hashem's word, mere extensions of himself.
Right.
So therefore, we have potentially beyond what we think that we can do.
Correct.
Both physically and
spiritually. That's the idea. This is the core of our belief. This is what the Luchot were intended to represent. This is what Moshe was supposed to bring down to the people. We were supposed to carry this testimony with us to, and then build a nation based upon that. And that nation would have then served as the source of light, the source of goodness, the source of the spirituality for the world. And that would have brought about a redemption. That's what we're supposed to get to. That's where we're supposed to get to. This idea that it's not just building a country. It's all about it. It's everything together. That's where we're supposed to come to. Reestablished, reunited, re-glued back together. What happened to him? Let's go on. Let's find out what happened to him. Okay. What's that? You're dying. Vayishma Yehoshua et kol ha'am b're'o. So Moshe's coming down. Okay? He's carrying these things. They weigh nothing. They weigh nothing because they're not real rocks. They're God rocks. Okay? So it's not a big deal. Like, you think, oh, Moshe carrying the thing. Nah, like, you know, he's holding the, you know, how big were they? Does it say how big they were? Maybe they were like this?
Know.
Who knows?
Like, I think they were made from emerald.
Stefan.
Really? Whatever makes you happy. You know what I'm saying? We have no idea. Okay.
I just want to get this.
Oh, there are many questions.
You mean the tablets? Yeah. The tablet image? Where, do you know where that's from? Is it from some painting? That it was this? That it was like that?
Oh, the round?
Yeah, the round.
No,
right. So where's that from? That had to be some medieval artist. I think. Anyway. By Yishma Yehoshua. So Moshe comes down and he runs into Yehoshua. Where is Yehoshua?
At the foot of the mountain.
At the foot of the mountain. Right? A little bit halfway up. Right, waiting for him. Yehoshua's waiting for him to come down. So Yehoshua also doesn't know what's going on.
Yehoshua heard the voice.
Correct. Yehoshua's also halfway down. So he bumps into Yehoshua. Moshe knows what happens. Yehoshua is the only person and doesn't know what happened yet. Because Moshe heard from God, Yehoshua is in the middle. By Yishma Yehoshua.
Merited to become Moshe's successor because he wasn't part of the faith.
I don't know. Good question. It says that Yehoshua lo yamish mitoch ohel. He merited because of his total devotion to Moshe. That's what it says. By Yishma Yehoshua kol ha'am bireo. Yehoshua heard the voice of the nation bireo in its wickedness. Vayomer al Moshe kol milchama b'machaneh. He says, "It must be a war going on." Vayomer. It's a great play on words. Moshe says, "En kol anot gvura." Anot means raising voices up. There's no calling out of strength. The en kol anot chalusha, and this is I don't hear a voice of chalusha of weakness. Kol anot anochi shomea. Anot. I hear the sounds of. Of abomination, of blasphemy. Okay, if you look at it, it's interesting. Moshe's making a play on words. You almost never find puns in the Torah. En kol anot vura, en kol anot chlusha, kol anot. Somebody pointed out to me, kol anot is there's a nun, it's there's a dagesh in the nun. That's a different word. Anot means of wickedness. I hear wickedness. I don't hear strength and weakness. I don't hear war. I hear terrible things. I hear blasphemy. Pasuk Yud-Tet. Vayhi kasher karav el ha-machaneh. When he got close to the camp, vayar et ha-egel u-mecholot, and he sees the egel, the golden calf, and the becholot, the dancing. Vayicharaf Moshe, vayashlech miyadav et haluchot, vayishaber otam tachat ahar. When he saw the egel, Moshe became angry. Yeah, Moshe became angry. Vayashlech miyadav et haluchot. Vayashlech means
he threw
from his hands. How would you say? And he threw
zarak.
That's the biblical word. Yeah.
But when I kick kids out of class, I say he shlech the other mekita.
You sent them, right? You sent them from the. He
not
sent
like
force. Right, you sent them.
Like the.
Sent force.
Right.
Ah. Okay. Tashlik. Oh, okay. And he sent forth. He tossed forth, he sent forth from his hand. Okay, right. Vayishaber otam tachat ahar. Is that the same?
No.
So what does it mean?
And then he broke them.
Right. Meaning, it's clear. He didn't just drop them. Like you had in your hand, like he threw them down and they broke into tiny pieces. No, no, no. He dropped them, and of course, what happened?
Nothing.
Nothing happened. So what did he have to do?
He smashed them.
At the foot of the mountain, Tachat Ahar. What does that remind you of the way? He smashed them. He broke them. Right.
It's not even Vayishabar, it's Vayishabar.
Vayishabar Otam.
It's like a much stronger...
Right.
It says, in the mountains... Very good. Very good. I was thinking of the same thing. Is there some allusion to the Naaseh V'Nishma but Tachtit Ahar? That here it's also Tachat Ahar. Okay?
I had a different image the way this was translated. So
he cast
that, it's like, and they
picture him
taking the tablets suddenly hit him and then throwing
it
him,
not throwing it, but handing them out, like,
this
is what you've missed out on, and then throwing it down, like, in, not like, oh, he's like, nobody's looking at him. No, nobody knows he's there yet. He came back, he's like, you know, like 100 feet away or 1,000 feet away, and he sees it. You know, there's and there's like it's in. What's fascinating is God told him what they did. He knew what they did, but like
seeing is believing.
It's not just believing. Seeing is like yes, it becomes harsher. It's reality, and he becomes angry. What? What are you asking?
Yeah, that's also doesn't make
sense. What are you asking?
He's got these precious things in his hand. Moshe gets so angry. That's like so atypical Moshe.
Yes, a very atypical Moshe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he takes. Just what he's been, these precious things, and he breaks it. I would have put them down and run off and said, "You naughty children!" Okay.
Well said.
She's right. She's got
them. If you don't say it powerfully enough, he didn't break them. He smashes them. He just, you know what? What would it take? What does it take? I wonder. How do you smash God's stock, rocks? You need a, no. Forget God's mission. You need God's hammer. Like you know what I'm saying? Like bam, bam, bam. Nothing's happening. You know what I'm saying? What? Under the mountain, right? You know, it's like not so simple.
No.
So you're asking a very famous question. Did God tell? Did Hashem tell him to do it?
Yeah.
What?
One with Hashem.
There is no record of God telling him to do it.
But he knew what Hashem wanted.
But he's not punished for it either. So therefore,
he is so close to Hashem at this point.
Yes.
He had to send it away from him. He had to separate himself.
No.
Not that he had to separate himself. I'll take the beginning part. But that he's a representative of Hashem.
Yeah.
These luchot are a symbol of the agreement between both sides. You broke your
agreement. He's one with Hashem.
I'm breaking Hashem.
Did you like read the Midrash? Unbelievable. 1 second. Rashi. Look at Rashi.
He's feeling Hashem's feeling.
Rashi on that. Rashi says. 1 second. By Ashlech Biyadav and Yud Ket, says Rashi, Amar. He said, we'll see in a second. Ma Pesach Shu Echad Min HaMitzvot. Amra Torah called Ben Nechar Lo Yochal Bo. Right, Pesach is one mitzvah, and God said, if you're a Ben Nechar, if you're a non-Jew, you can't eat a Korban Pesach. HaTorah Kula Kan. The whole Torah is here. V'chol Yisrael Mumrim Ve'etnena Lehem. And all the Jewish people are rebelling against God. I'm supposed to give them the whole Torah. If they don't follow the Torah, if they're a Ben Nechar, if they're not Jewish, they don't get to do one mitzvah. And here I'm supposed to give them the entire Torah. So, does it sound like God told Moshe what to do?
No.
What?
No.
No.
But it sounds like Moshe used himself as an extension of Hashem.
Interesting. Says the Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbat, Dapei Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says there are three things. Gimel Dvarim Asa Moshe Mida'ato. He did three things on his own, of his own volition. God did not tell him to do it, and God agreed. One and three are less relevant. Okay, one is that he added a day. God said, be ready on the fifth day, and Moshe said, no, the sixth day. A second thing, the sixth day of Sivan, when the Torah is going to be given. Then Moshe said they needed an extra day to prepare. God said, no problem, give him another day. Number two is... No, it's still 40 days after that. It was still the same amount of time. Number two is that he decided to separate from Tzipora on his own. That's number two. And the three, just a small thing, that he broke the luchot. Okay? 1 second. Exactly, Rashi's quoting you this Gemara. 1 second. Here we go. Shavarta luchot, my darish. He broke the luchot. How did he understand that he was supposed to do this? This is not a nothing. Amar, Uma Pesach, this is exactly what the Rashi is quoting you. Uma Pesach, Shu Echad Bitaryag Mitzvot, Amar Torah, V'chol Benechar Lo Yochal Bo. HaTorah kula kan v'Yisrael mumrim alachat kama v'kama. How much more so? So, by the way, it's interesting, Mina, that Rashi doesn't quote the whole Gemara. That Moshe did it. I was wondering why Rashi doesn't say, Moshe decided on his own to break the luchot. Mm-hmm. That Rashi just alludes to the idea. He doesn't actually bring the whole Midrash. So he says, the Gemara says the following. Uminalan dehiskim hakadosh baruch hu al yado. How do we know that God agreed with Moshe? Meaning, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Moshe, okay, Moshe decided. Shnei emar, asher shibarta. When did he say asher shibarta? Psol lecha avanim roshim ka one second, psol lecha, shnei luchot avanim. One second. It's here. Aluchot arishonim asher shibarta. What pasuk are you reading? Lamed dalet aleph. I'm sure Rashi says. One second. Does he say it? Asher shibarta. Yeah, interesting. Rashi there says, okay. Psal lecha atashibarta rishonot. You broke the first ones. Atapsal lecha achronot.
You make
the new ones. You know, you broke it, you fix it. That's what he says. Okay.
No, but so which says, means that it was okay. Not that it was okay that he broke it, but that I want them still to have the.
Rashi says, "Asher shibarta." The Gemara says, "Va'amar reish lakish asher shibarta yashar koach shibarta." That's strong language. The Gemara says, "Asher," from the word le'asher. What's in ishur?
Permission.
Yashar koach. Moshe broke the luchos. Says the Gemara. God says, "Yashar koach."
That doesn't sound like that when
you broke it, you
fix it.
No, it doesn't. Does it? It's just fascinating.
Like, you know, if your child doesn't, you know, they're not fixed, it's something you're happy with.
Correct. Correct.
But you haven't chosen it, then the energy couldn't exist. You're saying what I made couldn't exist in your reality. It needs to be man-made.
Who decided that?
Moshe did.
Right. It's almost as if, you said like, Moshe was so close to God. It's almost as if, like, Moshe finds himself in this impossible situation. God has an ideal reality that God wants to create. The Jewish people are people. They're not in that place. And Moshe, God says to Moshe, here's the luchot, go do what you're supposed to do. And Moshe comes down, what's he supposed to do? What happens if he doesn't break the luchot?
But normally you find tzaddikim who come and see the Jewish people are sinning, like Abraham or them, they find excuses, they try to say repentant, they try to say they made a mistake.
Yeah.
Isn't an act of strengthening, isn't an act of weakness?
No. He had already begged for their forgiveness. He had already argued successfully on their behalf. God wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And Moshe had already worked wonders to convince the Ribbono Shel Olam not to destroy us.
So then why did he leave the luchot up on the mountain?
Why did he leave the luchot on the mountain? God gave him the luchot. What's he supposed to do with them? Here, keep them?
Okay, no. If he had, they gone.
Could he potentially see the both realities? He could see the reality of the people on the ground, and he could see the reality. Because he has such a close connection with Hashem, like what we talked about a couple weeks ago with the Amalek. Like, did he have these potentials? So maybe he thought that if he had the potential to see the world of Hashem, so too did the people on the ground. And then when he got there, and so the reality that they didn't have that potential.
In my heart of heart, I believe it. First of all, did Moshe, but it's interesting, Vayashlech Miyadav. So there's another famous Rashi on Vayashlech Miyadav. Look back on Rashi, where are we? On Rashi, Vayashlech Miyadav.
Miyadav.
One second.
No, one hand.
There's a famous Midrash that says Vayashlech Miyadav. Why did Moshe, what happened? Why did Moshe let go of the Luchot?
Oh.
And they're very famous, you know what I'm talking about, the famous Midrash?
No.
I couldn't find it, but it's, you know, one second.
That's
so here we are, right. Says the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, very, very famous midrash. Okay, Lama Shivram. Why did Moshe break them? Shebishah shelakach Moshe taluchot haya yored. When he went down, right? Hayu k'tuvim shehal aluchot sovlim et atzman bet Moshe. They would surround him. Right. The words.
Sovivim or sovlim?
Sovlim. Sovlim means he was burning them. He was holding them.
Right.
He was suffering them. He was holding them. And remember, these are they're not written. The letters exist somehow for us to understand. These tablets, they're not real. They're not real in the sense that we have them. So the letters are also, they're hovering, they're floating. Say, this is your hologram for you, right? Right? It's whatever. Okay? Nowadays, it's easier for us to imagine. It's easier for us. Uksheraou et hatupim ve'et hamecholot ve'et ha'egel. When they saw Moshe and the letters, as it were, these letters are alive. These letters represent the Torah HaChayim, the living Torah. When they saw this egel, barchu haktuvim uparchu min haluchot. Right? The letters flew away. They v'nimtzu kvedim al yedei Moshe. So then you're just holding rocks now. V'lo haya Moshe yachol lisbol et atzmo betaluchot. So he couldn't carry them. You've heard this, right? This is a very famous midrash. Okay, therefore, lachachi shlichan miyado v'nishtabru, and therefore he, you know what I'm saying? Therefore he sent them off. He just couldn't hold them anymore. He couldn't physically hold them, and then they broke. Vayashlech miyadav, and vayash, it didn't say vayishlach. Vayashlech miyadav is the reflexive, and it was sent forth from his hand. That he just couldn't physically handle it. What's fascinating is, so you have these two opposite things. On the one hand, the Pshat seems to say he got mad and he threw them and he broke them. Comes on the Midrash and says he didn't break them, they broke on their own. Which one? So which one is correct? You like the second one better? If he's angry.
No.
Right. I actually agree. I agree. I totally agree. But I think, what would have happened if Moshe hadn't broken them? What would have happened if Moshe hadn't broken them?
He didn't have a choice.
He had a choice.
No, he did.
Of course he had a choice.
He had a choice, otherwise they wouldn't have been created.
Correct. He had a choice. He clearly had a choice, and the Gemara says that God was happy that he broke them. So what would have happened?
No matter what, then they would have gone and they would have.
I believe so.
Yes.
What
the sitting on the one hand.
Correct. You can't. Correct.
But then it still creates an issue.
The people in their sinful in their situation of sin could not have coexisted together with the luchot.
But they said the chetekel was like having an affair. It was like having an affair on the wedding
night. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
but we're saying, what if Moshe would have left the luchot? He said, the Jewish people would have been redeemed, and etc. That's only true if we merit to have the luchot within us. Remember, we spoke about this a few weeks ago about the malach, about the angel, right? If we want that holiness and that spirituality, you better deserve it. You better merit it, because if you don't merit it, then you're bringing upon yourself that it's the impossible, the holiness and the spirituality together. If you go against that, then that awesome power is the power to destroy.
But then why was he allowed to bring them down in the first place? It doesn't make sense. He knew they were sinning. You can't have it both ways.
But maybe he didn't understand the extreme.
Hashem did.
And maybe the promise is
mm,
but
very
you
good.
Said they didn't see them.
So then the point would be, obviously, that God wants Moshe to break them. He wants them to take them, and he wants them to break them.
He obviously made them before they sinned.
He made them before they sinned. Right. So then, by your logic, God just said, you know what, Moshe? I'll hold these for a while. We're not ready. I'll hold them for a while.
No, but your last point then makes more sense.
What do you mean? With the last point, that God wanted Moshe to take them, and God wanted Moshe to break them. But what did God not tell Moshe to do?
To
break them. In essence, that means that God wanted Moshe to break them on his own. Is that, it's like poor Moshe, he becomes
the connection to Moshe's vying for them on the top of the mountain when Hashem wanted to destroy them.
Yes.
Maybe Hashem wanted Moshe to say, you know what, they're problematic. Recognize that, yeah, you've been advocating them, but you go down with these things in your hand and you see exactly what, with your eyes, what they're doing.
And then you'll decide, then you'll understand that you have to break them?
Right.
Interesting. So as just both Ramban and Kli Yakar note, remember we talked there at the very beginning, why are these second set of psukim out of place? Shouldn't the description of the luchot be when God gave them? Yeah. So both of them say that the point was that the description is to show what Moshe broke. Like that these unique divine luchot are exactly what Moshe broke. So Ramban says...
The people didn't seem to see them, right?
They never saw it. Okay. לספר במעלתן, רמב"ן, meaning רמב"ן, on תזיין, לומר כי לא נמנע משה בכל זה מלשבור אותם. Moshe did not hold himself back from breaking them, despite what he had. כי חרה לו בראותו המעשה הרע, he was so angry, ולא יכול להתאפק. He couldn't control himself. It doesn't sound so great, does it? That he just couldn't, meaning even though these were unbelievable, you know, he destroyed them. Kli Yakar says it a little differently, and I've become a big fan of Kli Yakar. Okay, again, why did Moshe break them? The fisha luchot hayu ma'ase Elohim, because they were written by God. V'amichtav michtav Elohim charut al luchot, and the writing was the writing of God. Okay. V'amru b'midrash charut min ha'malchiyot. This meant freedom from the subjugation. And others say, Chirut min malach ha-mavet. It would have meant they would never die. V'rabban amri chirut min ha-yisurin. And some say, it would have meant they would never have suffered. What does that sound like?
It's better than...
What does that sound like?
Yeah.
It sounds like Gan Eden. Right, exactly. Returning to Gan Eden. Okay? Therefore, etc., etc., etc. Lekach, one second. Darshu charut lashon chirut, etc., etc., etc. Therefore, Adavar zeh kol zman shaluchot kayamim. As long as the luchot were extant, yesh Yisrael brit kruta, they would have a covenant, charin min hamalchuyot, that they were free from the subjugation of the other nations of the world. Ve'achshav shechatu, and now that they sinned, einam ru'uyim lechol hayudim halalu. They're not worthy.
They broke their side of the agreement.
They broke their side of the agreement. And therefore, he broke them. Right? The Moshe Rabbeinu said, I know what I'm holding in my hands. I can't give this to these people. They're not of that, they're not of that place yet. So that's exactly what Rina said in the very beginning. We want Mashiach to come. It's not that we want Mashiach to come. You have to get to the point where you deserve Mashiach will come.
The last time Moshe did this, that he decided the Jews, according to the Midrash, that he decided that the Jews weren't worthy of something good, Hashem overrode him. When he came to, with Yitziat Mitzrayim, when he said, I can't save them, they're not worthy of being saved. And mm-hmm. Hashem said, that's not your call to make.
Yes. But here it was the other way around. God wanted to destroy them. God wanted to destroy them. And what did Moshe say?
No.
And what did he say? He said exactly, God, that's not your call to make.
But he also said,
yes, he said.
But he also said that things can't
what?
Continue status quo.
So did Avram. Correct.
But what I'm stuck on is, when Moshe goes against the rock, which sort of also seems to be not quite the instructions that he was given, and also has, he's punished for it. And here he goes and he breaks the luchot, and it feels like it has to have been commanded to him, because how can you walk and get such a punishment and break the luchot and not?
Which is why maybe the Gemara says Hashem agreed.
That's what you have to say. Listen to the last answer of Kli Yakar, which is unbelievable, and it ties into what you said. V'yesh omim sheshavram. You see it? The last answer of Kli Yakar, at the very end of this little piece, and just an unbelievable thing. It's almost shocking. He broke them kedei lihitzaref gam et atzmo imahem b'chet. He wanted also to include himself in sin. V'yisrael gamu sheparchu ha'otiyot. The Jewish people caused the letters to fly away. Umoshe shavar haluchot. Then Moshe broke the luchot. Why? Kedei shelo yuchal haKadosh Baruch Hu lamar achale otam veoseh otcha gadol gadol. You know what? I'll destroy them and I'll make you into a great nation. Sharei hushvu b'chet. So now we're equal. Moshe says, you can't. You know why? You want to punish them? I sinned too. You didn't tell me to break the luchot? I did it anyway. Sorry. V'ata, therefore, v'al zeh amar Moshe, y'avta im tisach hatatam. Now you have to forgive them. Ratzal amar, v'ata nitchadesh davar, shegam ani chotei kemotam. I sinned like they sinned. V'im kein, if so, im tisach hatatam mutav. If you forgive them, great. V'im lab, azai gam li lo tisach. That's it's an unbelievable idea of what leadership means. Leadership means they sinned. So Moshe says to himself, they're my people. I have to sin too. And that way God says, God can't divide between me and them. I represent them too. And that's why he broke the luchot. You know, I like it in pshat, but it's such an unbelievable idea that he broke it in order to identify with them so that God couldn't distinguish between him and them. That he and them are all one and the same. I don't in its deeper sense, you don't like it, huh?
No.
In its deeper sense.
It's very hard before.
First of all, it's just a beautiful idea about leadership. This is a beautiful,
It is, but
it's an unbelievable thing. But in its deeper sense, I believe that Moshe broke the luchot because they had to be broken. Because he understood the situation. And we're always in this place of struggle. That there's the place that we want to get to is this edut. That we represent this testimony. That this idea that there can be holiness in the world, there can be spirituality in the world. And the greater the holiness and the greater the spirituality, the greater the impassibility, the greater it doesn't make sense. The greater it is that the more you learn, the more you're supported, the more people respect you. the more Torah you have, the more spirituality you have. And our goal is to get to that place. And when we get to that place, then we will have come back full circle. Tried once, God tried once, in Gan Eden, didn't work so well. Twice, at Har Sinai, still didn't work so well. Right? Even the Beit HaMikdash is Shivrei Luchot. Is there any Midrashim? I challenge you to find somebody else about a Midrash about them, you know, gluing them back together again? I don't know. Maybe that's why God said to Moshe, I'm not going to give you a new set. The new set is man-made. It has to come from you. Psal Lecha. You broke them, you have to fix them. That when the Luchot are rebuilt, when the Luchot are given another time, it comes from our initiative and not from God's initiative. That the spirituality has to come from us and can't come from on high.
Right.
Which question? The Urim and Thummim? Yeah, it's all the same. It's all the same idea. This idea of spirituality and miraculousness, it's absolutely all the same. Something to strive for. Okay.